You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome back into Locked On Vols here on a Tuesday. Memorial Day is in the rearview mirror. That was on Monday, and of course Memorial Day weekend. I hope you guys had fun spending time with loved ones and doing what I tried to do a couple times on Monday and just sit there and reflect and remember those that paid the ultimate sacrifice for my freedom, for your freedom, for our country. That is what Memorial Day is all about. So I tried to do it. I hope you did as well. But here on Locked On Vols, we thank those fallen for our freedom. Today's episode of Locked On Vols presented by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On Vols sent you. I'm at Locked On Vols on Twitter, at underscore Kaner. If you want to listen to this podcast, there is a link in both of those Twitter bios to Linktree to where you can click on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Odyssey, you know, whichever listening avenue you'd like, and that's all in those Twitter bios. But I got a couple announcements right off the top. I want you guys to get these because I want to avoid some confusion. We are now officially in the off-season mode of the Locked On College Channel, meaning for the months of June and likely July, we are going to temper back a little bit and go to likely 3 episodes a week. Normally for me and this podcast on Locked On Vols, that'll be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday type situation. This week it's a little bit different. We're going to go Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday because of the Memorial Day on Monday. And I'm going to be on, not next week, but the week after, I'm going to be on vacation again. So we will have to communicate on which days new episodes will be available. But I promise you, the off-season, typically there's, you know, it's kind of scarce in terms of finding some topics every day to talk about, so we're going to pull it back a little bit, but still going to bring you the absolute latest regarding Tennessee football, basketball, baseball, all that good stuff. You don't have to fear. Still going to be plenty of content here on Locked On Vols, but I just wanted you guys to be aware of moving to 3 days a week here for the foreseeable future up until football season kicks off. Then we'll get back to 5 days a week, but that is the rundown here for Locked On Vols. Today's episode is a Twitter Tuesday. We're going to talk about your breakout player for Tennessee football in 2021. Had some good interaction on social media over the weekend. I thank you guys that chimed in. And then in segments 2 and 3, Tennessee baseball, that's the story right now. A national top 3 seed. It's going to host a regional this weekend. What did you think about that regional field? We're going to catch up with Ben McKee, VolQuest.com, who in my opinion covers the Tennessee baseball team better than anybody. He is going to check in segments 2 and 3 to talk Tennessee baseball. All that and more here on a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. All right, so let's get into it. Who is your breakout player for Tennessee in 2021? I'm going to give you a couple of mine just to kind of get the ball rolling, and then we'll reach out and we'll hear from some of those who sent some in via social media. On defense, I have 3, 2 of which played the same position. That position's very, very scarce. It's very, very thin. That is the linebacker position. We'll go to the edge first. Tyler Barron and Byron Young. Tyler Barron spent about half the season in a starting role. He played significant snaps all last season because some injuries, the dismissal of Kevon Bennett, all that type of stuff. I like what I saw from him as a true freshman, but as he continues to grow, mold, put on some muscle, learn the game of football, especially at the SEC level, the things they plan to do with him and Byron Young, it's going to be really, really fun to see. So I think Tyler Barron is a guy that has potential to be a breakout candidate in 2021. Having said that, Byron Young as well. Ben will talk about this here later on the show, but when I ask him the question, Byron Young had the best spring of anybody that was out there. No coach, no player mentioned the name Byron, mentioned any other name more than Byron Young when it was mentioned. A guy that coming from the JUCO ranks, a little bit older, his path to the SEC, it's noteworthy. But again, like Tyler Barron, you're going to see a hand in the dirt. You're going to see him playing on the defensive line. You're going to see him 2-point stance on the edge. You're going to see him playing stack backer. Byron Young has a great skill set, and I'm really intrigued to watch those two guys go to work on opposite sides come fall. Warren Burrell, cornerback. He's the guy that's been here for a minute. He was a highly touted prospect coming in the class of 2019. And I think Warren Burrell has all the tools. He had a really, really nice spring. Now, there were really only 3 cornerbacks that went through drills in spring that have seen a lot of experience. That being Alante Taylor, Kenneth George Jr., and then Warren Burrell. I think Warren Burrell had a fine spring, and I think Warren Burrell is finally going to take that step to where not only will he play significant minutes as a starter, but I think he's going to be making some plays as well. But all three of those guys, Alante Taylor, Kenneth George, and Warren Burrell, will all play a whole lot of cornerback this year for Tennessee. We go to offense now, and I've got a couple. Now, again, all these players aren't going to break out. I'm just kind of, you know, painting the picture of who I could see breaking out. Bayless Jones Jr., Jalen Hyatt, a wide receiver. Kind of the tale of two different players in terms of Bayless Jones Jr. has been around the game for a long time. Played four seasons at USC, transferred to UT, now taking advantage of that COVID year. He's an older guy. Jalen Hyatt, true freshman in 2020. Both of those guys saw a lot of production towards the end of last season. They're fast. They're good route runners. They've got great hands, elite speed, can take the top off the defense, can do a lot of different things with them horizontally as well. Those two guys are going to lead that bunch on offense and that receiving corps, and I think both those guys could break out for sure. Princeton Fant at tight end. You haven't seen a whole lot from him, though his usage got a little uptick towards the end of the season last year as well. Vanderbilt comes to mind in that ball game. But Princeton Fant, because Alex Golish loves to use his tight ends, I think you're going to see a lot of work for the tight ends. And I think Princeton Fant's got a nice, unique skill set. An under-the-radar guy that I think could get a lot of work is Princeton Fant come fall. Jabari Small at running back. Ben, again, we'll mention him in a couple of minutes, but he's going to get a lot of work. He and Tyon Evans, I think it's going to be kind of running back by committee, but Jabari Small will be the lead back, and Jabari Small will certainly be able to carry the ball as much as he can handle. Had a really nice spring, a little bit of experience. He's kind of an all-purpose type back, and getting rave reviews from Jerry Mack, Alex Golish, a lot of other guys, a lot of other offensive players and personnel in spring. So look for Jabari Small to turn some heads. And then Jimmy Callaway, a fantastic spring. In terms of who had the better springs, Byron Young, Jabari Small, and Jimmy Callaway is probably that third guy. At first, he was leading the group in terms of the most productive guy in spring. But nonetheless, a guy that will likely be on that three, four, five line in terms of wide receivers. He has a potential to be the third option. Likely might be the fourth option. Javonte Payton, Jimmy Holiday, Ramel Keaton, you know, all those, Cedric Tillman, all those guys might have a say in who comes after the first two up top. But I think Jimmy Callaway, good speed, a quarterback in high school, a guy that can do just a little bit of everything. I like Jimmy Callaway to kind of break through here in the fall. So those are some options for me. If I was picking one on offense and one on defense, I would pick Tyler Barron on defense, and I would pick Princeton Fant on offense because, again, breakout for me would likely be a guy that hasn't done a whole lot so far but has played a little bit, has potential, or you can go a different way. Somebody that you didn't even know about but broke onto the scene and took over. But that's the route I'm going to go. We had Jacob Kirk chime in on Twitter at Jacob7Vols, and he says Roman Harrison. I think Roman Harrison is a great one. He's a guy, if healthy, he's going to play somewhere at linebacker, whether it be on outside linebacker or inside linebacker. The thought is at inside linebacker right now, but he was injured during spring camp. He's a guy that has the skill set. I really like his makeup. Just a matter of getting him on the field and learning the position. So I like that one from Jacob Kirk. At Voldog19 chimes in, Bayless Jones Jr. because of his fit in this offense. I couldn't agree more. You had Cedric that chimed in and said Jalen Hyatt, kind of the same situation, couldn't agree more. And then you had Marcus chime in and Jabari Small. So we kind of talked about all those guys. But nonetheless, thank you guys for the interaction. Your breakout star for 2021 on the Tennessee football team, who might that be? That is our Twitter Tuesday prompt today. If you're listening to this podcast and want to chime in, at _Kaner, at @LockedOnVols. We will do another Twitter edition of our shows next week, and I'll set the prompt in advance, so I appreciate that. We got Ben McKee coming up here in just a moment, but remember, guys, let me tell you about our proud sponsors here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and introducing a new one. It is Made in Kitchenware. If quality and craftsmanship are important to you, you should check out Made In. Made In is cookware and kitchenware brand that works with renowned chefs and artisans to produce some of the world's best pots, pans, knives, and wine glasses. Made In produces professional quality cookware and knives for those who love to cook. They source the finest materials and partner with renowned craftsmen to make premium kitchen tools available directly to you without the markup. Made-in products are made to last. They offer a lifetime guarantee. Their cookware distributes heat evenly, so you can easily go from stovetop to the oven. Their knives are truly forged, perfectly balanced, and they stay sharp. They have over 28,000 plus five-star reviews. Their products are used by some of the world's most renowned chefs and restaurants all across the globe. Made In. It's better cookware for the better meals. And right now, Made In is offering our listeners 15% off your first order if you use that promo code Locked On. This is the best discount available anywhere online for Made In products. Go to madeincookware.com/locked on. Use the promo code Locked On for 15% off your first order. That's madeincookware.com/locked on. Use the promo code Locked On for 15% off your first order. Made In, better cookware for better meals. And don't forget about our presenting sponsor for today's episode, and that's Rock Auto. RockAuto.com, it's a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. You can go online to RockAuto.com and shop for the auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. They've got pretty much everything that you need, from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oils, even new carpets. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog, it's unique and remarkably easy to navigate through. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle. You can choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. And guys, best of all, the prices at RockAuto.com, always reliably low, the same for the professionals and the do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts when you can get them for a markdown rate? That's at rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car, for your truck, right Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Back with the hardest working guy on the Tennessee baseball beat, Ben McKee, BallQuest.com, the Schwann Events. He's checked in on this podcast numerous times, but here to give the lowdown on Tennessee's draw for regionals in the NCAA tournament. Ben, what's up, dude?
What's up, my brother? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. Just trying to get going on this new week. The Knoxville regional reads like this. Tennessee will play host, will be the one seed to Liberty, the two seed, Duke, the three seed, Wright State, the four seed. The Volunteers in Wright State will get going Friday at 6 o'clock to get this regional off and running. So all the talk we've seen on social media, all the talk from a little bit of knowledge I know about these other teams, a pretty tough draw for Tennessee here to open up regional play.
Yeah, not that kind of a draw to the number three overall seed in the NCAA tournament. It seems like Tennessee definitely got the short end of the stick, and you start with the team that they'll be playing on Friday night at 6 p.m. Eastern. They'll welcome Wright State to town, a team that they actually lost to in a series last season. Non-conference play, didn't have some key pieces available, so take that with a grain of salt. It's nothing to pay attention to or base a prediction off of. Just an interesting storyline that Tennessee did play Wright State last season, and it did not go in Tennessee's favor. If I remember correctly, it was the only series Tennessee lost in the COVID-shortened season. But Wright State, if you ask those who cover college baseball as a whole, would tell you that they should probably be a two seed in a regional. Instead, they're a four seed in Tennessee's regional, and that's just talk about short end of the stick and the theory that Tennessee never has an easy path in postseason play. That just adds to that theory. But Wright State, a very good baseball team, highest scoring team in the country, led the nation in average on base percentage and slugging percentage. Six players who average more than an RBI per game. They're just a really talented baseball team that isn't going to be afraid of the moment. And, you know, Tennessee probably lands the best four seed of any that they could have landed. And it seems like the NCAA selection committee went with geography more than balance or fairness. And Vince Ferrara, your coworker there at Sports Radio WNML.
That tweet is pulled up, and I was about to read it off for my next question. Yep. But go ahead. The stage is yours.
Yes, it seems, again, like Vince noted, it's a great point, but it seems like the NCAA went with more geography than balance or fairness, because Jacksonville is playing Old Dominion in South Carolina. close drive, short drive for Jacksonville there. Southern is playing Texas, Norfolk State playing ECU. I believe if you look at the Gainesville Regional, all of the teams, or at least three of the teams, are from Florida. You do have the odd scenario of LSU going out to Oregon, but I think that was an anomaly, and because they're going through a coaching change and seeing a legend retire, I think the NCAA was trying to give LSU and Paul Maneri a favor and a gift basket on the way out the door and just find a way to get them into the tournament. Central Connecticut also in that regional. So Central Connecticut going to go from Connecticut to Oregon. That'll be quite the trip. But Gonzaga in that regional as well. So as you were about to bring up, it seems like geography was more important than balance or fairness. But Wright State, a very good baseball team, as I mentioned. Duke is really rolling right now. Duke reminds me of Oregon State and Oregon State basketball, that is. Tennessee drew a basketball team that was getting hot right at the right time, and that's what this Duke baseball team is. They were 20-20 at one point, had to win the ACC tournament to get in. Didn't really beat anybody of significance. They won 12 straight, have won 12 straight, and that was with a weak schedule to end the season. So that Duke baseball team reminds me of the Oregon State basketball team that is just hot at the right time. And funny how that scenario worked out, given how it went for the basketball team. So Duke is a team to watch for sure. And then Liberty can really pitch and defend. So not an ideal scenario for Tennessee, but this Tennessee baseball team is the number three overall seed in the tournament for a reason. And they're a good baseball team. And as long as they play like themselves, they'll be perfectly fine.
Chris Bird dropped this one down there on the tweet machine. Four of the top 36 teams are going to be in the Knoxville Regional. So it's a great competition that's going to be happening here in town next weekend. And, you know, they're adding bleachers that's going to seat approximately around 400 fans, 400 additional fans, I believe. It's already sold out. Those additional bleachers will go on sale later this week. But Knoxville's ready to host a ruckus environment. And from everything that I've heard from you and from other people that were on site covering the SEC tournament at the Hoover Met, Tennessee fans showed out, and it was a great environment. So, you know, how big is this just to host a regional with everything Tony Vitello is doing? Though it is going to be challenging, but, you know, with Tennessee fans coming and packing a punch like they have been so far, you know, really this entire season with the opening of the gates back up and allowing fans back in the stadiums.
Man, it's huge on so many different levels. It's huge from the standpoint of it's going to give Tennessee a true advantage in this regional, a true home field advantage. Each and every year, you see teams travel to the SEC to play in a regional, in a super regional, whether it be the Mississippi schools, LSU, A&M, South Carolina, Florida, Vandy. Those are the premier baseball programs right now and have been for several years. And each time you hear these teams from the West Coast or Big Ten territory, and they come in and they're just in awe of the atmosphere that exists, that takes place during these weekends of regional play and super regionals. And it's a true home field advantage, and opponents get rattled because out on the West Coast and out in Big Ten country, they don't care about baseball like they do here in the Southeast. They just don't. And it's not only that too. People in the southern part of the United States, they're very passionate about their schools and universities and teams. It's why you saw a Tennessee baseball program that has been down for so long. They had the bigger crowd on Sunday at the Hoover Met, and part of it is Knoxville is 4 hours from Hoover, and I believe Arkansas is 8 hours from Hoover, and that plays into it. But Arkansas fans are known to travel. They have the best team in the country, won the SEC regular season championship, and that was the championship game. So Arkansas fans, they show up and show out, and Tennessee fans showed up and showed out even more so than Arkansas fans did. So I think, it's convenient for Tennessee from a strategic standpoint. It plays into their advantage, but also kind of what I was just saying, I think it's huge in terms of potentially helping keep Tony Vitello in Knoxville. He loves Knoxville. He has truly been touched by the fan support since he got here, but even more so this year. It has truly touched him, and it's something that he doesn't take lightly or overlook. He realizes what he could potentially build here at Tennessee, something very similar to what Tim Corbin has done at Vanderbilt, what Dave Van Horn, his former boss, has done at Arkansas. Part of that is winning on the field. But, you know, Tennessee fans are, in my opinion, the best in the country. When you look at them from a football perspective and everything that they've gone through, and, you know, without Tennessee fans, Tennessee itself is not special. And I think as long as you give them something to cheer about, they're going to show out and support you because they're prideful about that Tennessee across the jersey. They're prideful about the state, about the city of Knoxville, most of them about their alma mater. So I think Tony Vitello realizes that he can parlay this fan support that he's getting into continued success over the course of the next decade, if not longer. So I think it's kind of knocking out two birds with one stone in terms of how important it is to host a regional and a super regional. On one hand, it's a huge advantage for the current team as it tries to make a run towards Omaha and win a national championship. And on the other hand, Caner, I think it could truly help maybe, you know, be the cherry on top of keeping Tony Vitello in Knoxville.
Yeah, so it's going to be an incredible environment at Lindsey Nelson Stadium coming up this weekend. Again, Knoxville Regional. It's going to be the Volunteers hosting Liberty, the 2 seed, Duke, the 3 seed, the ACC champs, Wright State, the highest scoring offense in the country, is the 4 seed. Wright State, Tennessee, again, will get going at 6 o'clock. We will have more with Ben McKee coming up here on the other side. Hey guys, I want to touch base about Built Bar. Built Bar, BuiltBar.com. Use that promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your first order by using that promo code LOCK15, 15% off at BuiltBar.com. You guys hear me talk about it a couple of times a week, every single week here on Locked On Vols, and they are a proud sponsor. Delicious protein bars that look and taste like candy bars, 100% chocolate, but they're good for the health-conscious guy and gal. You've got 9 delicious flavors. You got coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. There's literally something for everybody, and if you know what your favorite is, you can often describe it with a bunch of different adjectives to one of your friends. And if you can't decide which one your favorite is, continue to order the mix box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors so you can decide for yourself. But most of these flavors, they have 17 grams of protein, only 130 carbs, or calories, excuse me, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs. And my favorite is cookies and cream. You guys know this. I've talked about it before. We had a whole lot of fun with the back in March for the March Madness Built Bar, which one is the best. And all you guys had a fun time chiming in as well. So you hear me talking about Built Bar all the time, and I want you to go ahead and try it out for yourself right now. Summer is here. We're on the lake. We are at the pool. We're heading to the ocean, to the beach. And if you want some healthy snacks, it's going to, you know, not only tide you over until the dinner time, but also, you know, do something for you. All that is at Built Bar, and you can find them at BuiltBar.com. 15% off for Locked15 at BuiltBar.com. Back here with Ben McKee to finish off here a Tuesday Locked On Vols and talking Tennessee baseball, of course. Knoxville Regional set to get going later this week. And I want to look back, Ben. You did just a fantastic job covering what was the SEC tournament. Tennessee, you know, lost game number 1 to Alabama and just the controversy that was there, but, you know, turned around, you know, went on a run and, you know, pitched well, of course, hit well, and, you know, went all the way to championship Sunday and then and fell short to Arkansas, of course, and Arkansas being what it is. But overall, how big was that run for Tennessee? And it looked like the pitching, for the most part, still lined up and ready to roll for regionals. Tennessee had 4 players that were named to the SEC All-Tournament team, and Camden Sewell, Connor Pavloni, Max Ferguson, and Luke Lipsius as well. So how much fun, obviously it was fun for you, but how big was this for Tennessee heading into regional play where you hope to go on another run here in the postseason?
I think it was huge. This team does not lack confidence, but it never hurts to add confidence. And I think this week, and doing what it did added confidence to this baseball team, which is a bad thing for Wright State, a bad thing for Liberty, and a bad thing for Duke as well. This team does not need any more confidence moving forward. It's what makes this team so good. Tennessee is not the most talented team in the country in terms of, you know, professional baseball prospects or anything along those lines. This, they do have a lot of talent. Don't get me wrong. They do have guys who are going to play a long time in the major leagues, but what closes the gap between them and a Vanderbilt, them and an Arkansas, and I realize that Arkansas and Vanderbilt won those series, but Tennessee did go toe-to-toe with both of those schools and did at least win one game against them. But, you know, the Mississippi schools, A&M, so on and so forth, what Tennessee makes up for a lack of, in talent, or a difference in talent, I should say, is the cockiness and the arrogance and the confidence. And when I say cockiness and arrogance, I mean that in as good a way as possible.
You need that as an athlete. Yes, absolutely.
You absolutely need that. And it all comes down from Tony Vitello. That is Tony Vitello's personality. It's why he's been able to get the program turned around so quickly. So I think that's why this past week in Hoover was so good for them, is that they were able to add more confidence. And, you know, most of these guys played in that 2019 regional, but it's just more postseason success. And they went up against teams like Mississippi State, Florida, Arkansas, who are the best of the best in the country. They truly are. And then you throw in Alabama, who you beat twice. Who ended up making an NCAA tournament team. I'm glad you finally realized.
I see what you did there.
I'm glad it finally registered in your brain there, Kaner.
I'm still on the beach. So
it's okay. I'm still trying to recover from Hoover. Some of us have to work here, Kaner.
No, I feel you, bro.
I'm picking at you. But you beat four really good teams, and you did so in battling through adversity. I make the joke of beating Alabama twice. It's my opinion that they got that call wrong. If you look at the rules state that if it is a clean slide going into second, which it was by Max Ferguson, then all contact at that point is legal. So that should not have been called for runner's interference. But despite that call and losing the first game of the tournament, you turn around and you play at 9:30 and you beat down a really good Mississippi State team that threw its three best arms at you. Then you have to come back the next morning and play Alabama once again, and you do beat Alabama to avoid elimination for a second straight day. And then, okay, now it's time to face a Florida team that is red hot, playing its best baseball. They were the preseason number one team in the country, and Camden Sewell, a guy who hasn't even been a mainstay in the pitching rotation, really. I mean, he comes out and just throws an absolute gem. And then you go on to the SEC championship game where you were going up against the best team in the country and Kevin Copps, who deserves to be the national pitcher of the year. So not that this team needed any of it, Kaner, but I think this team added some confidence and added confidence and much needed experience. And just the more games you can play, the more scenarios you run into, and the more scenarios you run into, just you're almost, I don't even know what I'm, the phrase that I'm searching for, but you're almost bulletproof in a way, to where you've almost experienced all that you can experience. And that's critical in making a postseason run.
Tennessee, the number three overall seed, will host a super regional if it advances out of the Knoxville regional. That will be a tough competition, but as been already pointed out, it's seen a lot. It's gone through a lot. It is experienced throughout this long season, and it's ready for a postseason run. Last thing with Ben McKee, we're going to flip the script here a little bit as Tennessee baseball set to get going later this weekend. Our topic here in segment number one of a Tuesday show, breakout players for Tennessee football in 2021. I gave a couple. I want you to give me two players who you think will break out. And I think it goes without saying, and you can certainly say which quarterback you want to if it is one of your two, but I think whichever quarterback, you know, wins the starting job has the potential to be a breakout player, because obviously, there's a new sheriff in town, if you will. But who were two breakout players for Tennessee football that you expect to happen this year?
I'll give you one on offense and on defense. The one on offense, I'm going to avoid the quarterback position. Last thing I want is another thread on the message board debating quarterback A and quarterback B. So I'm going to go with Jabari Small. I think Jabari Small behind an above-average offensive line. I don't think it's a great offensive line. It has the potential to be pretty good. It still has some issues, if you want to call it that. Even that may be too strong of a phrase to use. But it still has some things to sort out. I think the offensive line is going to be good enough to open up enough holes for Jabari Small. And I think Jabari Small had a terrific spring. The coaches raved about him. His teammates raved about him. And I was very impressed when he spoke with the media. Seemed like a real nice young man and a young man that was all about business. And I think Tennessee needs more players that are like that. That are all about business 24/7. So I think Jabari Small is going to have a breakout year in offense. He reminds me a lot of John Kelly, especially early on in John Kelly's career, where you see him come in here and there, and he just runs angry, and he refuses to go down. And that's what Jabari Small reminded me of this past season. So I think he'll take another step. And on defense, it's hard not to go with Byron Young, who was the talk of the defense in spring practice. I mean, Tennessee needs pass rushers. I think you have some potential there with Tyler Barron or Roman Harrison, depending on where they want to play him at the linebacker spot. Morvin Joseph's a guy that went through spring practice at inside linebacker. I think he could be a situational pass rusher. My point is, I do think there are some interesting prospects at that position, outside backer, that can get after the quarterback. But they need somebody to step up and grab the bull by the horns. And I think Byron Young is going to do that. I spoke highly of Jabari Small. I think Byron Young may be the only player on Tennessee's roster who had a more impressive spring showing or was raved about even more than Jabari Small. So Byron Young, he comes from Georgia Military College and kind of got that – military background to him a little bit. He obviously was not in the military, but he spoke about it himself, the wake-up calls and having to make your bed each morning and be on a schedule each and every day. And I think he's adopted that personality, and I think it's going to lead to a big season from him.
So that's Ben McKee, VolQuest.com. Swain Event does a great job covering the Tennessee baseball team. His thoughts on Tennessee's SEC tournament run, the draw in the regionals, what it can do, and what's to come here for this Tennessee baseball postseason. Plus, he gave his take on his players to break out in the 2021 season. I appreciate you guys that chimed in on social media to hand out yours as well as we draw a close to Twitter Tuesday here on this edition of Locked On Vols. We're done with Locked On Vols now, but remember, all the news you need in 20 minutes. The Locked On Today podcast has got that with host Peter Bukowski. He gives you the latest news on every major sport, the help of our local experts. Follow Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So all that's coming up next. As soon as we're done here with Locked On Vols, go ahead and check out the Locked On Today podcast. So again, guys, happy opening day. It is opening day after a year plus, just about 15 months of a recruiting dead period. The recruiting cycle is back open. Tennessee begins housing camps, housing official visits. There will be a plenty here in the month of June. I'm over at Tennessee early on a Tuesday morning covering a camp that is going on for some select student athletes. So excited to bring you some recruiting news throughout the week and update you guys on all that. But appreciate you guys for Twitter Tuesday. Appreciate Ben McKee. We'll have plenty of other baseball coverage as we carry out. And remember the updated schedule, guys. We're now in the off-season mode, so majority of the time over the next month or two, it's going to be 3 episodes per week. I will update you on some of the weeks where I decided to go 5 whenever there's news-heavy weeks, like the SEC Media Days coming up here in a little bit, if Tennessee goes on to Omaha, stuff like that. But typically, it's going to be 3 episodes a week for the foreseeable future until we kick that things up at the end of summer for football season. And I will communicate on what days we'll be doing typical episodes. Usually, it'll be Monday, Wednesday, Friday. This week's obviously a Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday situation. I'm going to be on vacation here in about 8 days or so. I'll communicate about what days those will be on as well. But nonetheless, wanted to give you guys an update there. But I look forward to catching up with Josh Ward coming up on tomorrow's episode. Get a check in with him as he was on vacation last week. And we'll continue on breaking down all the latest news in Tennessee football, basketball, baseball, and everything going up around the hill. Guys, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And until tomorrow, have a great rest of your Tuesday, everybody.